Conflicted. Better lick your finger and turn a page. Dissect the lines that paid you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on front page fuckery. Yeah.
Oh, honeys, I am back. Back for the second episode of Front Page Fuckery. It's me, Kelechi Okafor, aka Mother of London, aka Baby Girl. And if you've never come across me before, welcome. I hope to be, you know, soon be one of your favorite things about Mondays. And to those who already know me, welcome back, honeys. Welcome back. We're going to get into all the papers that I've gathered today, Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if this also comes out on a Tuesday. Like, I've got to get into the rhythm of doing things for Mondays again. But the thing is, with Say Your Mind, my previous podcast, I was recording that on a Sunday night to come out on a Monday. I'm recording this on a Monday to come out on a Monday. So sometimes, well, I'm saying sometimes, I've only done it twice. It might just prove a bit arduous, but we move. And, you know, that's what we're here to do, make good conversation out of bad news. You know, let me just start. In case my energy is a bit off today, it's because there are some things that I'm having to navigate. So I heard over the weekend, Saturday, that my editor, the editor of, well, you can't see it, but Awakened and Edge of Here, which are my two books that I have out in the world, if you haven't got them yet. But my two books I've got out in the world, my editor Sarita Domingo suddenly passed away the day before on Friday. And it really rocked me, and I'm yet to cry. So I don't foresee anything in the news headlines that would make me start bawling, but I'm just letting you know that that is a thing. And I wrote a kind of tribute to her for my monthly newsletter that went out on Sunday morning. Just wishing her to go well into the other realms and to have a safe journey, because without her, you know, I wouldn't be a published author in the way that I currently am. I'm really grateful that she saw a softness in me. Whilst there are people who are like, oh, Kelechi's a warrior, Kelechi's so angry, Kelechi's so this, that, and the other, she saw a softness in me. The very first thing she asked me to write was a love story for an anthology of love stories by women of color. And that anthology is called Who's Loving You. Aside from being my editor, Sarita, in her own right, is a phenomenal author. And I remember one of her books, The Nearness of You. Like, she's just amazing. And she's got a new book out that came out in April called Possibilities. So support that if you can. So yeah, I'm just feeling a bit, but I'm here. And aside from that, I've been getting lots of racist abuse from trolls and the such online. I hope the noise isn't coming through from next door. That my neighbors have music on and such. But yeah, trolls online have been sending me wild things just because I made a video really explaining that I don't understand this sudden furor over Charlie Kirk's death. They don't like that. All this performative empathy that everybody's doing, I don't know where it's coming from. Even the black UK influencers, your teeth, your veneers haven't set. I've started, but I'm going to finish what I'm saying. I started, so I'll finish. Your veneers haven't set in your mouth from Turkey, but you're stretching your lips to come and cry over Charlie Kirk, who you don't know. And this is why people call you lot coons, because you have no sense. Oh, he was a Christian. He was a Christian. Is that part of your Christian belief? Your blood clots? Let me even not get into it. I feel like I'm moving ahead too soon, but I just felt like I needed to say that because I've had to navigate people sending me messages with gun emojis going, you're next. Who are you talking to, brother? Who are you talking to? Like, there are so many complexities to navigating being outspoken, doing political or social commentary in this Western world, in this climate. I don't even think it's just limited to the Western world. Women speaking up in any place in the world is a dangerous act. So I can understand how the women who then end up speaking up in certain degrees, they just like, who want to be contrarians, they go to be contrarians because it feels like the safer option for them. Little do they know, like, these lot don't like you either. Like, these ones that went, we're going to get into it, but these ones that went to go and march in central London, their racist march the other day, we're doing it to protect our women and girls from the migrants, from the immigrants. We're doing it to protect our women and girls from the immigrants. They were chanting as they were walking, get your tits out for the lads, get your tits out for the lads. So is the protection of women and girls on that, is it in the room with us? I have questions. I have so, so many questions. But yeah, so I'm navigating getting those sorts of like stupid messages. And there were loads of them. And I actually took screenshots and I shared it in my stories because I feel like sometimes people don't understand. Like, you'll see me, I'm dressed cute. Today, I was going to dress cute for you, but I'm trying to give you the context for why I didn't dress cuter for you. All I'm literally giving you is a Gymshark tracksuit bottom and a Gymshark crop top. That's all I've got in me. And this is literally what I wore to go for my run earlier and to go gym earlier. People will see me dress cute and they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, she's got it. If I dressing cute is all I have. It's all I have to keep me sane. Looking cute and going for my runs, going Muay Thai, that is, and going gym, that's literally, and going to restaurants with my friends. Oh, talking of restaurants, but I'll get into that shortly. This is turning into Say Your Mind, but I need to share all of this context before I start reading these stories. So that's all I have. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke the reefer. I don't do drugs. Just have sex, and I'm not having sex. I'm practicing abstinence for the foreseeable, and I've been doing that for a while now, actually. So you can even see how my fingers are moving as I'm talking. Imagine I'm saying all of that. My son is by my side. He wanted to come with me to the recording today instead of staying with the nanny. So let me just temper myself, because it's like, girl, calm down. There are children in the vicinity. But I am on the edge. You know, you can tell, like, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to just be myself. I just got to be me, JC style. If you don't get that reference, I feel sorry for you. She wore Old Maiden type shoes. Sorry, they were Old Maiden type shoes. Again, if you don't get that reference, my brain's doing wild things. I mentioned that I went to a restaurant the other day. I went on a date the other over the weekend, and I said we'll go to Monica Restaurant in Deptford, because this is also part of the context, because I'm also receiving backlash over on that side as well. I went to Monica Restaurant in Deptford. I'd been there like once before, and I reviewed it in the members area of my website called Kaleidoscope, where I have like a daily-ish sort of vlog. Those who are in Kaleidoscope will say, don't believe her. There's nothing daily-ish about that shit. We get a video once every few days. But okay, and I know I still need to record Meet Me at the Altar, my other podcast. It's a private spiritual podcast, so don't flog me. I say spiritual, but the spiritual is political, so I mainly discuss political things through a spiritual lens. That's with astrology and tarot and the such. But anyway, this is for those who just want it clean. They want it, you know, no chaser. That's why we're doing it this way with these front pages. But I went to Monica Restaurant on a date. The flies, honey, the fruit flies. Now, don't get me wrong, I have seen a couple fruit flies across restaurants across the world, you know, in the past year. You know, I'm not averse to seeing flies, but the amount of flies that were in that restaurant, it's in Deptford, the amount of flies, it was horrific. Like, I was having to use serviettes to cover my jug of drink, to cover, you know, my food, because they just kept gathering. And don't they lay eggs? And it was so distracting. And I'm looking at other tables and they're kind of swatting away the flies as well. The little kids, the adults, everyone's swatting away these flies that's on their juice. And, you know, like, people are ordering mocktails, so it's very high in sugar. And so you've just got all of that on it. And I couldn't really concentrate on the date per se because I'm fighting for my life from the flies. Who's trying to be Lord of the Flies? They were on the walls, they were on the paintings. And I was like, when you start seeing them in that amount, something is clearly wrong. Now, before, I swear I gave it like a 7 out of 10, or was it a 6 out of 10 when I went before? There were other reasons I think I rated it like that previously. But this time, I gave it a 3 out of 10 because, bro, what do you mean? And I paid for my meal, even after saying, rah, this is mad. The waitress, I called her over and I said, oh, why are there so many flies? I said, is it just this corner? She was like, no, it's everywhere across the restaurant. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. She said it was everywhere across the restaurant. I said, blood clot. She said, oh, we think it's the plantain plants that we have. They've got these big plants in big pots around the restaurant. And she says that we think it's that. If you think it's that, why are you as a business still keeping those plants inside? I would have done, dashed them, or at least got them treated the soil, done something. But what I absolutely do not want to be doing is eating beef suya with a side of flies. Yeah, that's, I don't want that. And it's sad because, objectively speaking, their food slapped. I will say across the Nigerian cuisine landscape in London, because Enish is dropped down, 805 has been dropped down, and I think it's the same owners that own Monica, as well as Bar Beach Grill. And Bar Beach Grill, I think, is cute as well. I've been there a couple of times. So I'm in the business of eating. You just have to look at my cheeks and my double chin, and I stay with a plate, honey. So I know what I'm talking about. Like, I go to different types of restaurants. I'm out here, right? So I know. And like I said, I've been to other restaurants that are high-end Nigerian restaurants, and maybe I saw one or two flies. But Monica, mad. So I gave it 3 out of 10, which is a shame because the food actually slaps. Their fried rice, they've got this prawn and something fried rice. Bangs. But I could not concentrate. I couldn't. Eventually, I was just like, I've just got to go. I can't do this. I don't want to stay for dessert. And I love a sticky toffee pudding. I couldn't. I don't even know if that's on the menu, but they usually have it across their branches of all their ventures. But I couldn't stay to eat. Like, what is going on? And so after I spoke to the girl about it, she kind of told me the script that they've been told to say. And she asked me if she should remove the service charge. I'm like, I don't want you to not get a tip. She was like, oh, that doesn't go to us. So I gave her a tip separately because she was actually really lovely, really cute, loved her nails. Don't watch my nails. I need to get them done. So I gave her a tip and that was that. And I saw her tell the manager that I was having such a hard time with these, with this abundance, this plague of flies. And I saw the manager in his grey, shiny, slim fit suit shrug. He really shrugged, and that bald head really glistened under the light of that restaurant. He just shrugged. And that's crazy to me because that's a hygiene issue. Now, what got me is that I made my little video on TikTok. Bear in mind, I make other videos on TikTok. Maybe like 200 people see it, right? I make this one video thinking that it's not really going to go out. Suddenly, it's got over 150,000 views, like 7,000 or so likes, bare comments, and people are telling me, oh, you want to destroy a black business, why did you bring this online to talk about it? Why do you lot like to keep secrets? Why are we pretending? Because if somebody had told me earlier that there were flies, I wouldn't have bothered. but we should keep secrets. We should keep secrets. Nah. And I was just sharing my honest review. I didn't say that the food shit. I didn't say that they should burn in hell. I literally said them flies are mad. Lo and behold, other people who were in the restaurant on that day are in my comments saying, yes, it was crazy. Somebody even posted a picture of their cocktail glass saying, look at the flies gathering on my cocktail glass. Meanwhile, these people are still seeing it and going, yeah, but fruit flies are a problem across other restaurants all across London because it's the season. Shut your mouth. Some people are like, oh, they're impossible to get rid of. I've got them in my home. That's a you problem. That is a... That's right. It's a you problem. That's got nada to do with me. What? Oh, they're talking to me as if I just arrived on Earth, like I don't know the seasons. Explaining it to me like I'm an alien from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from that galaxy. Are you crazy? But anyway, they're trying to tussle with me on TikTok because of this. And then the restaurant responded and they were like, oh, thanks for coming again. We have our fresh produce and they like to gather around fresh produce. We've only been open for a year and we're still trying to figure it out. And all I hear is blah, 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 blah. Because respectfully, there are other restaurants that also opened in the last year and they're not giving us this as if we're in Exodus, part of the Bible. Like, then it's not giving this. Right? So I fresh produce. Other people also have fresh produce. There's something wrong. See to the thing that's wrong, but you can't expect people. And people are like, oh, it's a black business. Are we not rascal black customers? Right? Should the business not be treating us with the care that we're allegedly meant to be treating them? People love to talk about black business, black business. I don't give a fuck. I've stopped giving a fuck if you're a black business or not. You can't lead with that anymore. I don't lead with that. I've got a pole dance studio. I've been running a pole dance studio since 2016. If there's something fucked in the building, I know that that's a responsibility of mine to mitigate it so it doesn't affect the client's experience. So instead of rising up to come and say, people were literally writing Bible verses in my comments going, no weapon formed against this company, this brand shall prosper. Shut the fuck up. Am I the weapon that's formed against them? Or is it the Ross Clark flies? Am I the fly? Be so fucking for real. Black people don't want to hear feedback. You want to take the money as a business, but you don't want to hear the feedback. And I know it's across the board because you've got it with hairdressers as well. People are tussling with black hairdressers all day, every day online. They're everywhere. I just felt like I needed to get that off my Gymshark chest because, honey... Well, that's my front page for ya. That's my front page. Let's look at the front pages. So this week I picked up the Times, the iPaper, the Guardian and the Daily Mirror. You know, I've got to pick up a trash newspaper, right? Because I will try to make sure that I've covered all the spectrums because I feel like the Times is more conservative. The iPaper is general. The Guardian is, I guess, general left, kind of. And then the Daily Mirror is absolutely trash. That is a cracked mirror with many years of bad luck, Your Honor. But I picked it up anyway. So let's start with... let's actually start with the Times because that's what I picked up first. So the front pages of the Times are talking about... Haaland punishes abject United. Beastly. What political animals really get up to? Who cares? Not that I don't care about animals. I just mean like the political ones. What was I telling you? Did I finish telling you about the date? No, I think that's all I wanted to say about the date. No, I was going to say when you are just staying away from people, like you just want your time, like you can see things much more clearly. But there is a point in the month where people you shouldn't fancy, you're like, but I need to behave for professional reasons. Anyway, first migrant set for return to France on commercial flights. The first small boat migrants are due to... I fucking hate that term, small boats, but okay. The first small boat migrants are due to be deported on commercial flights to France every day this week under the so-called one-in, one-out returns deal. Some will join tourists and business travellers on an Air France flight today. barring any last-minute legal challenges. A message sent to a migrant due for deportation tomorrow said, you will be removed from the UK on Air France flight AF1681, which departs from Heathrow Terminal 4 at 9 a.m. on the 16th of September 2025 and arrives in Paris, France at 11:20 on 16th of September 2025. The migrant received a formal removal direction notice, which gives 5 days' notice of the Home Office's intention to deport them, allowing them to seek final legal advice. Once all legal hurdles have been overcome, dozens of migrants will be escorted in secure vans from the Harmondsworth Immigration Removal Centre next to Heathrow Airport, where they have been detained since arriving on small boats last month. Escorts from the private contractor Mighty Care, or is it Mitty Care, and custody will accompany them. The British and French governments are understood to be booking seats on commercial flights to keep costs down. The Home Office spent more than £300,000 booking charter flights for the Rwanda scheme under the Conservatives, but legal action stopped any taking off. The Home Office has refused to disclose how many migrants will be sent to France this week. It has kept information to a minimum over concerns about legal challenges because it fears people, smugglers, could use it to change their tactics. However, it is understood that the number amounts to fewer than 100 removal numbers depend on the, let me just see what the removal, oh, why schools fit the bills for weddings, because people are getting married in schools more now as well. Why are they showing us Ellen? She's moved to the Cotswolds as well. They really, oh yeah, I talked about Ellen Degenerate last week. Let's see what this says here. Female rugby players have such great physiques. Sorry, I just saw that on the back page. I'm opening this. I was cussing about I didn't just arrive on Earth yesterday, but the way I'm trying to open this newspaper is actually mad. Anyway, let me just read what I wanted to read, shall? What about readiness, where is it? Numbers depend on the readiness of asylum seekers moving the other way under the reciprocal terms of the treaty with France. Those being flown here from France have been accepted by the Home Office as meeting certain conditions, such as having family connections and being from a country with a high asylum grant rate. More than 100 migrants have been detained under this deal since it came into effect on August 6th. While the Home Office has not disclosed the exact figure, it is only a small proportion of the 5,590 migrants who arrived during the period. Edi Rama, the Albanian Prime Minister, told Times Radio yesterday, or is it Eddie, that the UK should pursue its crackdown on illegal immigration cautiously, given the importance of migrants to the domestic workforce. He said, where the hell will you find the people to build your houses, to serve you the coffee, to be your taxi drivers, to be your truck drivers? The group Labour Together, which has close links with Shabana Mahmood, the Home Secretary, and Steve Reed, the Housing Secretary, has submitted plans that would give areas with asylum hotels multi-million pound thank you payments. About 250 areas would each receive £4 million to spend on community facilities. The money would come from a fund financed by the savings made ending the use of hotel accommodation. Okay, well, I don't know what's going on there, but for the Albanian, the Albanian Prime Minister, for Rama to be eating you up like ramen, oh, you fucked it. People are laughing at, they're laughing at the UK. They're laughing at UK, they're laughing at Europe, they're laughing at the US because everything's falling to pieces and yet people are still, you know, it's like seeing a building burning and people still wearing suits and walking inside the building trying to convince everybody else, it's fine, it's just a little bit hot, just come inside, it's totally fine. No, the fuck it's not. You can keep that, actually. In other news, was it Albania? I think it was Albania, or have I made it up? I think it's Albania. It's the first country in the world, I believe, to have an AI minister. Now, there are those of you who will be listening to this or watching this podcast right now. I hope it's less blurry this week because last week I was fighting for my life. I wrote this book called Awakened, right? Awakened by Kelechi Okafor. Yes, I wrote this book called Awakened. It's like speculative fiction, sci-fi. Anyway, in it, there is a mayor. Well, there's a mayoral hopeful called Jeremy Bromwich, who's a humanoid. He's AI. And it's so interesting to me that I wrote that. And then Albania, I believe it's Albania, announces their AI minister. Soon we will have primarily AI governance. I believe so. The more advanced that large language model becomes, to the point where people might be like, is it sentient? I don't know. But I feel like people will do that as a case of impartiality, forgetting that coding can still be corrupted unless they've got some kind of weird encryption around it to protect it. And the last time Uranus was in Gemini, every time Uranus has been in Gemini throughout time, I know, again, you'd be like, I didn't come here for astrology. Well, guess what? Fuck off. Every time, go with me, this is just part of pattern recognition. Every time the planet Uranus has been in the sign of Gemini, there have been wars, like in terms of the Civil War, Haitian Revolution, and then the World War, one of the World Wars as well. So we've had it and now it's back in Gemini. But I think that instead of it being a physical war, go with me, I think it still will be a physical war because we can see Charlie Kirk got claps in the neck like a Mandarin Saw 3, like as Giggs would have said. But they're now blaming the Groypers, Nick Fuentes people. So the right is eating the right. The right wing is saying you're not even right wing enough. That's right on right crime. That's white on white crime, right? So all of that is going on. So there are like wars within people's factions. So there'll be lots of infighting, I believe, because Gemini is also the sign of siblings, twins, right? So I feel like it will be a fight amongst people of their own, you get what I mean. With Pluto in Aquarius as well, you're going to be fighting your own people. You'll be fighting within your communities. And then there's just going to be lots of misinformation. And I feel like because of the advancement of technology, we're going to actually have more cyber wars, cyber attacks, power outages, that sort of thing. But big up the Nepalese Gen Z. They are dunning people's dance. And rightly so, because we're too docile in certain regards. Like we think that revolution comes without a bit of bas boss, but you're going to need bas boss because you're expecting the oppressor to just relinquish power like that because they're in their fifis. They feel a little bit bad for you because you're not happy. Come on, be so for real. So, I'm thinking about that we have all of these things happening, these wars are essentially playing out, and therefore, in terms of impartiality, people will look more towards AI, but obviously it's going to be the tech giants that then have a say on how that's rolled out. But anyway, let's carry on. Bruised PM hopes deals with US will quell revolt. Growing threat of a leadership challenge. Number 10 hails agreement on nuclear power. Sir Keir Starmer has been told by Labour MPs that he's in the last chance saloon as he attempts to use President Trump's state visit to regain the political initiative after the Lord Mandelson scandal. Is Lord Mandelson, I don't want to get sued, are they saying that he's a pedo? I'm not saying that. I'm just asking, is that what the girlies are saying? Is that what the streets are saying? Is that what the parliamentary streets are saying? Is that what Pall Mall is saying? Is all I'm asking. I don't know. I'm not aware of what's going on. Today, the Prime Minister will use his first public appearance since sacking Mandelson on Thursday. Sacking Mandelson on Thursday, but you know they'll be kikiing and going for drinks on Friday to hail a landmark partnership with the United States on nuclear power. The deal, which will allow fast-track approval for a new generation of small nuclear power stations, is one of a number of agreements to be signed with the US in the coming days to coincide with Trump's visit. Downing Street claims the agreements will add billions of pounds to the economy, but Starmer is facing the threat of a leadership challenge amid questions about what he knew about Mandelson's links to the disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein when he appointed him US ambassador at the end of last year. Oh, I knew it. I said I felt pedo vibes. I mean, if you tell me about a man in power, I'm going to probably think pedo or just predator generally, but mainly pedo. That's the main flavor that they like to come in. Oh, that was wordplay there, but I'm going to not follow it through. My mind says no. And that I could have gone somewhere else there with R. Kelly, but I will not. Yeah, like, what did you know? And can you see what I mean? Angela Rayner was the one that could challenge him. She got stitched up for her tax situation. Straight after, they're like, wait, but your boy Mandelson, because since you want to play, you know, because if you were beefing at the wedding, you should have been beefing at the wedding, right? So that's what's happening now. And they're getting him over what he would have known over Mandelson. And I think that that's fair enough, you know, because birds of a feather... well, I won't finish that because libel. One minister said the scandal felt like a death knell for the Prime Minister and that even loyalist MPs were questioning whether he was up to the job and could continue. A senior backbencher claimed his Labour colleagues were canvassing on behalf of potential leadership rivals. A Downing Street source said the Prime Minister's sole focus was on practical policies that benefit working people. So he said... Would you say that it's between Andy Burnham and Yvette Cooper? Did I make that up? Not that I didn't make her up. I'm saying, do you think? Andy Burnham, the Labour mayor of Greater Manchester, is said to be considering stepping down early to fight a Commons by-election so he would be eligible to stand for leader. Peter Kyle, the business secretary, said yesterday that it would be a shame for Manchester to lose him. The Conservatives are understood to be seeking an emergency Commons debate on the Mandelson affair and pledge to use every mechanism available to force the truth to come out. Laura Trott, the shadow education secretary, said Downing Street must publish vetting documents produced by the Cabinet Office at the time of the peer's appointment, which were understood to have said his friendship with Epstein continued even after the American's conviction for soliciting child prostitution. Child prostitution or child abuse? Child trafficking? Because children can't prostitute themselves, they're children. Anyway... words mean things is the thing. We need to understand what advice went to the Prime Minister and when, she told the BBC. How have we ended up in a situation where the advice for the Prime Minister is to appoint the best pal of a convicted paedophile to be US ambassador? The family of Virginia Giuffre, one of Epstein's victims, said Mandelson should never have been given the position in the first place. You know, I totally agree, because one thing Labour love to do is a background check, right? So they, once I called out Keir Starmer for being a pussy clerk, when I called out Lucy Letby, because those who know this law, you already know it, go with me. And this is also why I don't fuck with Novara Media. To those of you who love Novara Media and you're usually asking me like, oh, what's the issue with Ash Sarkar? What's the issue with Aaron Bastani? And what's that one? Owen, whatever his name is. So when Lucy Letby, they got her for, trigger warning, killing those children, I made a video because I could see, similar to what's happening with Charlie Kirk right now, people going, oh, I'm just so surprised. Oh my God, I never would have expected it of someone like her. This faux surprise, this shock, this, oh my God. I said, why are you shocked? Because when it's not white men being serial killers, an overwhelming number of white women are serial killers, right? And they usually fit moderately good looking, usually work in some kind of caring role, whether it be a nurse or this or that. They, so she fits the profile of who would actually be a female serial killer. And also this amnesia that people have about the historic violence that white women perpetrate is crazy, that they perpetrate and they propagate, because... what was it called? She owned, you know that book. She owned slaves. What's it called? One of them. Anyway, white women also were slave merchants. They also enslaved. They were active. They weren't just, oh, my husband is the one that does it. I'm just a bystander. My father, my brother does it. I'm a bystander. No, they weren't. They weren't. Right? And even if they were used as proxies, because maybe a father dies and he hands over his property, which included human beings of African descent, to his daughter, and then she would marry, and that those would also become property of the husband. There is that. But when we look at documentation, it shows us that some of the most depraved torture that Black people were subjected to under slavery and colonialism were enacted by white women. You know, out of whatever, but especially on the Black women, it was done to them out of, I guess, jealousy, and their husband or whoever sleeping, as they would see it, sleeping with the enslaved woman rather than seeing it as rape, because she was in captivity. And so they would torture her, torture the children. All of these things were happening, but white women want to turn around now and be like, oh my God, don't fucking try it. The violence isn't just left to white men. It isn't just left to men overall, right? And even when we think about the Ku Klux Klan, who was sowing the hoods? When we think about what happened to Emmett Till, why did that happen to Emmett Till? If it wasn't for that dutty bitch, Carolyn, whatever, that's now passed away. She admitted that she lied on him well into her late years, when she was about to die, essentially. When she was much older. And Carolyn Bryant, that was it. And nothing was done about it. She could just die in peace to some degree. People are like, oh my, she carried that guilt with her. Fuck that. No, she didn't. Because if she felt that guilty, she would have spoken up earlier. And how Emmett Till was killed, I still can't, like, it still makes me nauseous when I think about it. So white women aren't they're not new to violence, right? And I would go as far as to say the construct of white womanhood can only exist because of the foundations of violence. Like, they are the construct of white womanhood, because it is a construct, and white feminine purity can only exist because of the violence that is meant to justify. We are fighting for our women and girls so these toothless, unwashed legs motherfuckers can be out in the streets, right? Marching up and down. We're fighting for our women and girls. It's fighting for that psychological purity, right? That's why it's being done. And you look across Europe, white Europe, you're seeing it as well. We're fighting for our women and girls because these brown rapists are coming in. Oh, because what? They're going to just rape them in a different colour? You know, they're just going to rape them in a different shade. Hashtag FFF or what? FF12? Like, just like it's a color wheel. Is that because you're also raping and beating up the women, right? But when they do it, that's a problem. You want to be able to, you've got your special brand of Stella Artois beating that you say for the women. You want to be able to do that in peace, is what you're saying. Because on any other day ending with Y, you don't give a fuck about women and children. You actually don't. But suddenly you care. You just wanted a reason to be outside. And thus we understand why white femininity as a construct and white womanhood as a construct must exist. You see it? So I'm just breaking these things down in a video that I made years ago, only for Ash Sarkar to reference it indirectly, because Aaron Bastani was then going to reference it directly and say that what I was saying was basically drivel or something. But knowing how many right-wing rats follow him, kind of serving me up to them, and then that meant that Dan Wooten saw my video, me explaining to you as I've done now, talking about me on GB News, saying that I am the new face of anti-white racism in the UK and this, that, and the other. Like, again, all them times, it was around Carnival weekend that year, I'm receiving death threats, I'm receiving hate mail to my studio, all sorts. So around that time, the Labour Party wanted to do something, like they wanted help with how to put themselves forward, because this was before they got into government. They wanted help with certain things. They weren't going to pay because obviously they don't like to spend money. But I thought, okay, I'll help if it means the Tories are out, although there are so many things that I don't agree with, but I'll help. That video went out. Aaron Bastani did what he did, whatever, whatever. My video went on them, made the news. And then they sent a message, an email. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we won't be going ahead with this meeting. That was it. Done. A meeting that was meant to happen within a day or so. That's how they move. So I find it interesting now that all of this is happening, because it's deserved. It's deserved, because you can do background checks on me. There isn't a time that I've been invited to be anywhere that they haven't been like, oh, we're gonna check your socials. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. But when it came to Mandelson, what did you lot check? Because he's a big, big man, and Epstein's a big, big man, right? So you knew that they were out with them little girlies, but you still gave him a position of power. But me making a salient point about a serial killer is, oh, we can't be affiliated with her. And you can't be affiliated with a bad man like me, with a bad girl like me. You cannot be, because you're trash, actually. So needed to get that one off my chest. I just know this is going to be a long episode, but we're back at it, I guess. Pope has pop at bosses like Musk over earnings gap. Does the Pope get a manicure? His nails look nice. Anyway, the Pope has condemned the huge salaries of top chief executives, citing Elon Musk's possible rise to trillionaire status as a concern. In his first interview since being elected in May, the pontiff also said the UN was unable to resolve the world's crises, admitted he was on a steep learning curve as a diplomat, and revealed who he would support at the World Cup next year. Since his election, the Pope, who was born Robert Prevost in Chicago, has made clear his fears for the plight of low earners, taking the name Leo in honor of Leo the 13th, the 19th century pontiff who campaigned for better wages and union rights for factory workers. In excerpts from his interview given in July and published yesterday on the Catholic news website Crux, the first American leader of the world's 1.4 billion Catholics said he was worried about the world forgetting the value of human life, of the family, and the value of society. He asked, "If we lose the sense of those values, what matters anymore?" The Pope, who turned 70 yesterday, said the key was the widening wage gap between rich and poor. For example, CEOs that 60 years ago might have been making 4 to 6 times more than what the workers are receiving, the last figure I saw is 600 times more than what the average workers are receiving. He said he had heard that Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire in the world. He added, "What does that mean? And what's that about? If that is the only thing that has value anymore, then we are in big trouble." And we are in big trouble, actually. And I think back to some of the predictions I made on my previous podcast. And I said, you know, by 2025, we won't recognize America. And then people are going to break off into small groups and like basically self-govern in their own communities and things like that. And it's really hard as a tarot reader, a reader of the unseen, right, to know something but not know how it's going to be executed. And it's scary. Like I said that, I saw that in the cards and I said it, I didn't know what that was going to mean. And I'm seeing it playing out and I'm like, fuck, what are we actually going to do? Because this is nuts. Like, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. And I've got to say, the capitalist that's still in my bones, that's still in my body, like, Elon Musk has money that I need. If Elon Musk gave me a smidgen of the money that he has, I would be able to have a whole art studio, like a big, big recording studio with staff and everything to make all of this. I would just be able to sit down, record, get out, and it will be edited beautifully and it'll be on online for everybody. I'm not saying that I want money from Elon Musk, because I heard he smells and he's a vile human being, if he even is a human being at this point. But I'm just saying that it's so interesting to see how others have so much access to the resources that if I had just a fraction, like the tiniest fraction of that, it would be life changing for me. And that's me. And I'm kind of okay. So what about the other people around who are in different positions to me that really could do with the help? Instead, this ugly motherfucker is being televised or being broadcast at that Tommy Robinson march or whatever that one's name is. It's being televised. They're talking about violence is coming soon and it's coming swiftly and it's coming quick. You're hyping up these guys. Like, remember that you're hyping up these guys, that all of them, all 100,000 of them, went out in the streets for this racist march, one of the largest we've seen in years. They have teeth missing. That means that their teeth have rotted. That means that that disease has entered their gums. That means that they are not healthy people. And you're asking them to go and be violent or more. They go wundo. They go wundo. Somebody's going to wound them. Mind out before you find out. Don't be encouraging them. The only energy that they've got is for a beer and a football match. Don't and a pub. Don't and a pork pie, and a bacon sarnie and an onion bhaji. Don't encourage them to go and meet their downfall. But actually, that's it, isn't it? Because all of these working class ignorant people who are filled with hate and xenophobia from how their minds have been conditioned by their environment and by the media, they are pawns in this game. Like, people aren't human to men like Musk. It's just a game. And at what point do we stop being like predetermined avatars and we start self-controlling ourselves in this game to a certain degree, because we are still working with a type of programming? Sure you get my meaning. Anyway, let's go to the iPaper. So the iPaper says, Starmer uses Trump state visit to land deals on tech and nuclear. Talks too advanced to be derailed by Mandelson sacking. Well, because everybody's trying to ignore it. You're trying to have a conversation with Trump about tech and nuclear, where he's also in the Epstein files. So you're sacking one pedo, allegedly, to talk to another pedo, allegedly. It's a band of pedos. The people's champion are Ricky Hatton, 1978 to 2025. Prisoners will help to build warships under new plan to boost UK defences. Did you remember, if you've never heard my other podcast before, sorry I keep referencing it, but you really should go and listen to it. I deliver an incredible body of work. I read an article way back about how prisons in the US were considering lessening people's sentences if they would donate an organ for research or for somebody who needs it. And I could just see how sinister that would quickly become, because let's say you want to keep using black people's bodies, you want the organs from black people, you want this, that, and the other, the incarceration, the arrest and the incarceration rate would obviously go up, right? And then you would then give people these crazy sentences that you know that they would never see out, or you like, so to make them desperate for it to be lessened, you're like, give me your organs then. It's so, or to donate themselves, to volunteer, to have like brain chips put in their brain to test out these technological innovations, if you want to call it that. There's a story in there, and I might just be the one to write it. Prisoners and ex-offenders with criminal convictions could join a four-year apprenticeship scheme to fill 5,000 welding vacancies in the defence sector as UK ramps up its war readiness. We are but a small island. I keep stressing this. Don't let somebody go and lead you into Wahala. Do not go and take paracetamol for somebody else's headache. You lot don't want to listen, but I'm telling you, verily, verily. they would then work as welders on military assets like MOD warships in cities with a large defence industry such as Glasgow, Newcastle, Barrow-in-Furness and Belfast. The iPaper understands the proposals are being considered by government officials and have been positively received by the Ministry of Justice. Make UK Defence, which represents 700 defence firms, has held meetings with Number 10 officials and hopes to get scheme running by the end of this year to address labour shortage. And again, it's a whole thing to, it's like the system is feeding itself. It's feeding itself our young, it's feeding itself our neurodiverse in order to keep this oppression going, this white supremacist society going. Anyway, let's have a look. Britain's defence industry is planning to recruit in an army of young offenders. See what I said? Are young, and I hadn't even gotten to that point. They want the young boys because they've already been priming them for it by rotting their brains with all of the incel content, the red pill content that they're taking in online. So again, Britain's defence industry is planning to recruit an army of young offenders to work as welders and plug a skills gap crisis as the government launches the largest rearmament programme since the Cold War. Prisoners and ex-offenders with criminal convictions could join a proposed four-year apprenticeship scheme to fill 5,000 welding vacancies in the defence sector. The government is ramping up defence spending as it moves to war-fighting readiness, but industry insiders warn a skills shortfall puts military plans at risk. The apprenticeship scheme proposed by the trade body Make UK Defence and the Fair Chance Business Alliance, which helps offenders into employment, would focus on cities with a large defence industry presence such as Glasgow, Newcastle, Barrow-in-Furness and Belfast. Non-violent young offenders who went through the scheme could then work as welders on warships. So no, they can't work as welders anywhere else, just the warships. Interesting. The proposals have been positively received by the Ministry of Justice. Of course it has. The government has vowed to increase defence spending to 2.6% of GDP by 2027, with an ambition to hit 3% by 2034. In June, the Strategic Defence Review included a commitment to build up to 12 new nuclear-powered attack submarines. People are hungry. People have no food. There are people sleeping on the street. People will be cold in their houses this winter. And you want to invest in submarines, you fucking cunt? Oh, Lord. We are doomed, babies. We are doomed. But workers at sites like Barrow-in-Furness, home to the UK submarine fleet, require strict vetting as part of a security check clearance. Andrew Kinningberg, director of Make UK Defence, said, "We want the Ministry of Justice and the MOD to discuss this and try and work out a scheme whereby we can take people with criminal records and put them into the defence industry. But they'll just lower the requirements just like they did for ICE, and I'm sure just like they would do for the police force. Anyone who has murderous tendencies can now join." I'm not saying that about the welders, of course, but I'm just saying like they're lowering it. So they'll lower all of the vetting processes that they had previously that they clearly didn't use for Lord Mandelson, so they can get all of the people in because they need to use their bodies, their energy, their souls, their frequencies to fuel a war that they are manifesting. This will enable people like BAE Systems, Babcock and others to not have to rigidly apply those rules of having nobody on site with criminal records. The biggest challenge is building submarines and ships. That's where the big gaps are in terms of labour. So it'll be more likely, probably be in the shipyards, both Barrow-in-Furness and up on the Clyde. He believes the scheme would start to address the massive shortages of labour in the welding world in defence. It is hoped it would also reduce reliance on overseas labour. Currently, welders are recruited from Poland, Bulgaria and the Philippines, while the industry grapples with an ageing workforce and a decline in apprenticeships. Make UK Defence, which represents 700 firms, says it has held two meetings with officials at Number number 10, as it looks to get the scheme running possibly by the end of this year. The apprenticeship would run for up to 4 years in partnership with key defence companies, subsuming trainee welders into existing programmes. Neil Wood, a founding director of the FCBA, said the number of people with convictions was a massive untapped talent pool for the defence industry, although the nature of the offence, when it was committed, and an offender's rehabilitation would be factors to consider. Sure it would. Sure it would. I don't have good things to say about that, but it's not for me to be yapping on about. I can just see how it's exploitative, and I can see how we're mismanaging funds in order to bring about a war that shouldn't be happening in the first place. But when in doubt, go to war. Let's go to this one. I don't even know if I'll get to the Daily Mirror because I have been yapping for a while. PM condemns protesters who use England flag as symbol of violence. But weren't you the same one that was talking about, I love flags. I love flags. I just love seeing the English. I just love seeing our flag, the British flag. I love flags. Flag shagger. Britain will never surrender to far-right protesters who use the English flag as cover for violence, Keir Starmer has said, condemning attacks against police officers and racist harassment. The Prime Minister said that the St. George's flag represents our diverse country. No, it doesn't. And he would not tolerate people being intimidated on our streets because of their background or the colour of their skin. MPs and anti-fascist groups had urged the Prime Minister to speak up against some of the rhetoric of the largest nationalist protest in decades, held in London and organised by the far-right activists. Stop calling them activists, please. It's starting to piss me off. They're not activists. Tommy Robinson, whose real name, that is Stephen Yaxley Lennon. The pressure on Downing Street to be more proactive in defence of diversity came after 10 days of dissatisfaction from MPs over the handling of Angela Rayner's resignation. The ensuing reshuffle and the sacking of the US ambassador, Peter Mandelson, over his links to Jeffrey Epstein, the Prime Minister... Oh, he's not Lord... Is he Lord Mandelson? Anyway, the Prime Minister will host Donald Trump for a state visit this week, during which it is likely Starmer will face questions on Mandelson and right-wing talking points from journalists. In his first comment on Saturday's march, Starmer said yesterday that there was a right to peaceful protest, but that violence and intimidation were unacceptable. That's interesting. Wait, there's a right to peaceful protest. So when people are out protesting about Palestine... and they're getting dragged up. When people are holding up signs to show their support for Palestine and the police officers are grabbing them, what's happening there? Because these lot, it's look how you played yourself, because you lot were going to allow this fuckery to take place and then they started tussling with you. Because that's what happens. All the scones, all the beer that they've been drinking has really rejigged their amygdala. Their medulla oblongata is not, everything isn't correct again. And these lot are the ones that you're trusting to have a peaceful protest. Be so fucking for real. That was never going to be the case. But let somebody walk peacefully holding up a sign saying that they support Palestine and you're going to arrest them. What happened to your anti-protest bill? Your anti-protest laws? Oh, God. What do you say? In his first comment on Saturday, I'm going back, Wheel It Up Selector. In his first comment on Saturday's march, Starmer said yesterday that there was a right to peaceful protest, but that violence and intimidation were unacceptable. And he condemned the appropriation of St. George's flag of England by far-right anti-immigration protesters. People have a right to peaceful protest. It is core to our country's values, the Prime Minister said in a statement to The Guardian. But we will not stand for assaults on police officers doing their job or for people feeling intimidated on our streets because of their background or the colour of their skin. Britain is a nation proudly built on tolerance. I hate that word. Diversity and respect. Our flag represents our diverse country and we will never surrender it to those that use it as a symbol of violence, fear and division. Police estimated that between 110,000 and 150,000 people attended the event on Saturday, which was addressed by Elon Musk, who told the crowd via video link that violence is coming and that you either fight back or you die. He said, I really think there's got to be a change of government. That's what he's using all his money to do, to stoke division, to stoke war against people and government. That's what Elon Musk is using his money to do, because he's upset that he's not in with the in crowd, and he doesn't know what the in crowd know. And he doesn't go where the in crowd goes. So he's trying to use Britain's people against Britain's government. But you see, if you just let me be mayor of London, I promise you that protest would not have happened in the way that it happened. We talk about mother of London. I don't want to be called mayor of London, mother of London, because sometimes some of you need to be addressed and dealt with like like a West African mum, right? I'm not going to be talking to you a lot about, oh, I understand. I'll ask you, are you crazy? Shit, you're crazy. Are you mad? What is Sasieni? I'll ask you, are you all right? Before I open my eyes, if you don't all get in your house immediately, try me. You might like me. What's this about Harry now? That hair transplant isn't holding. Anyway, that's not what anybody asked me. My conscience is clear. Prince Harry on his family, the Ukraine war, and the media. It's about midnight. It's raining. A small group is huddled around a lonely roadside cafe somewhere near the border between Poland and and Ukraine, getting wet in a drizzle, sharing cartons of chips and bottles of beer. One of the bedraggled men wonders out loud why on earth the owner of the cafe would choose to close now, when surely this must have been the busiest it's ever been, stuck out here in the middle of nowhere in a captive. What's this got to do with Prince Harry? With a captive and hungry audience. Everyone laughs. Prince Harry can be quite funny, it turns out. Oh, it helps to keep things jolly as the security detail work out how to ferry everyone from here to the train that will take them on a secretly planned trip to Kiev. The aim of this visit is to promote the work of the Duke of Sussex's Invictus Games. Oh, he's still doing his Invictus Games. Six. Hold on. Just getting to myself to the other side. Here we go. His foundation, and to celebrate the recovery and rehabilitation of the thousands of veterans who have suffered life-changing injuries since the war with Russia began 3 years ago. Because of the sheer numbers of wounded, Invictus has become increasingly well-known in Ukraine, and Harry, somewhat surprisingly, has achieved cult hero status. The Guardian accompanies him on the journey to the capital, something of a gamble for both sides, as Harry noted. He's suspicious of the media, and the Guardian has long been critical of the monarchy. Well done. And over the next 36 hours, we learn a lot, big and small, about this complex, conflicted man. He doesn't like posing for stage photographs, and he doesn't like cycling. I have a bony ass. Oh, really? He likes to box to relieve his frustration, hitting the hell out of a bag, he says, helping him to decompress. In private, he is very informal, padding around in his socks on the train to and from Kiev and making dad jokes. In public, he has a confident voice and an easy charm with strangers. But on his own, he is softly spoken and asks questions about people and about politics. He has views. He's not, he says, the unhappy man some of the press like to portray him as. But yes, he wants to spend more time in the UK. Does he regret putting his side of the story in the very public way that he has? No, he doesn't. My conscience is clear. He talks about about his mother, Diana, and his father too. If Invictus is his professional priority, it seems clear his father is a personal one. But all that comes out on the way back to the UK, what is happening in Ukraine, is his immediate concern, and for good reason. I don't know what this piece, they really gave him a double page spread. I'm not reading all of that, but I'm happy for you. I'm sorry that happened. I'm not reading all of that. Like, all this fluff about, he lacks an understanding of racism, so I'm not going to be worrying myself about all of that. RIP champ, shock as boxing hero Ricky Hatton dies, age 46. This is the Daily Mirror. Former world boxing champion Ricky Hatton was yesterday found dead at his home, age 46. The hitman, who had fought a series of mental health battles, had been planning a return to the ring. Friends say they had not seen the father of three recently and had become concerned about him. His former promoter, Kelly Maloney, paid tribute, saying it's a big loss for the boxing world. This paper is such drivel. I don't even know what they're talking about. But anyway, I feel like that's all from me. Ricky will never be forgotten. They pay a big tribute to him in the Daily Mirror. R.I.P. Unless you're a racist. But no, R.I.P. You sent me information. You sent me things for your front. So I'm going to go to one of the ones that I've chosen because it leads nicely into me wrapping this the hell up. Because I have really well and truly been talking. You can't say that I did not give you an episode of things. Man, I love podcasting so much. So your front, I'm trying to see what was sent. Here we go. It's basically about Charlie Kirk, who I guess we have to speak about and can't avoid that happening. So what we've covered. Okay, get to it. The shooter who killed prominent conservative activist. Again, that word. Because they're conflating words now. Everyone can just be called an activist, right? But aren't activists meant to be doing something good? And this is how, before I even get into that, this is part of the issue that we think that everything that happens in society is up for debate. Are black people human? Let's debate. You know, change my, black people aren't human, change my mind. All of these debates, like the Jubilee debate, for instance, that Amanda Seales was doing, the debates that, I mean, I took part in the Cambridge University debate on the monarchy or the Cambridge Union debate on the monarchy, but it just gets to me because how are you debating the humanity of other people? Why, where have we gotten to that we can reduce people's lives to just conversational fodder? It's crazy to me. There are certain things that are just not up for debate, and we have to be ashamed as a society, embarrassed as a society, that we've gotten to a point where we think that we can talk about everything as if it's a debate. Like somebody will really come into your mentions trying to justify some bullshit. Oh, they're allowed to have their opinions. They are allowed to have their opinions, but this goes beyond like opinions because it's informing other people and they're taking it as fact. And those people are the ones going to enact things. Like I really sat and thought about it. And I think you, some of you would have really felt sad for Hitler. Like you would have really felt sad for Hitler. And notice even on the example of Hitler, Hitler didn't actually go out there, from what I know. He didn't go and turn on a gas chamber. He didn't go and load people onto trucks, the concentration camps. He didn't do all of that. That was one of the most shameful, abhorrent parts of our collective history. And the man that was instrumental to it didn't actually physically do the work, but he shared his opinions. And in this modern age, if you had seen Hitler sharing his opinions and the people it was affecting, you silly motherfuckers would still turn around and be like, yeah, but he didn't deserve to die for his opinions. I'm not saying that anybody deserved to die, right? But I'm saying that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I'm saying chat shit, get banged. I'm saying fuck around and find out. I'm saying mind out before you find out. There are so many things that tells you it's a law of the universe. How can you have somebody that was like, oh yeah, we should bring back public executions, they should be public, they should be quick, they should be televised? And that's really what got served to him. The tongue is powerful, babies. Don't just be saying anything. And so then, like I said, you've got these influencers that I don't even know if they know how to read the back of a cereal box, but they're stretching their veneered teeth from Turkey to come and cry on the fucking internet because, oh no, that shouldn't happen to anybody. He was a husband and a father. Can you fuck off? Is he the first husband and a father to exist? There are husbands and fathers that are getting killed every day. Husbands and fathers that have been killed by the police. You lot have been looking. You can't speak on it because, oh, I don't like to get political, but you could speak on this one. I'm not saying that wasn't gruesome what happened. I'm saying at the same time, I've seen some horrendous things, some horrific things happening across the world that I cannot get out of my mind. My sleep has been fucked since 2020 and extremely fucked since 2023. I can't. When you see me out kikiing, it's a ruse because inside my mind, oh baby, it's a shit show. And so certain people have just become desensitized. I saw a little baby in a burning building in Gaza. I've seen people carrying plastic bags that have the parts, the limbs of children. I've seen children that look like they're asleep. but they're dead because they've, like, their organs have imploded. And you want to tell me that somebody that was saying that that's justified, I should feel sorry and we should all be offering our empathy. If you lot don't fuck off to hell. Because it's not a case of, people are celebrating. It's just like, get your priorities right. Get your priorities right. You're doing very ridiculous things. And it's the weaponization of empathy and forgiveness against marginalized folk. People fall over themselves to perform forgiveness, to perform empathy, especially if they are part of an organized religion, because there is something, it's like your sleeper agents. And at any time you can be activated and you will be detrimental. You will be dangerous to the rest of us. Now I know why Harriet Tubman was papping and rat-tat-tatting some of you. Because you're going to get us killed. Over-empathizing. You would have been the kind of ones that you would have been crying outside when your enslaver, your slave master died. You'd be outside crying.
Oh, master. They done took master. Oh Lord, they done took master.
Fucking idiots. Get a fucking grip. There are so many things that you should be heartbroken about. This was gruesome. It's fucked. It's scary. Yes. But use your tears effectively, actually. Use your outrage. Use your empathy in a way that actually can change things. But look, because most of you aren't actually Christians. You don't worship God. You don't worship you don't worship Christ. You worship power, especially white power structures. Or even if that it's a black body that's presenting that power, you are still worshiping the whiteness that black person or that black body is proximal to. That's what you care about. Because you'll be reciting drivel. Can you not see? The Ku Klux Klan was also a Christian organization. They believed themselves to be Christian, but they had, and I saw this really interesting TikTok. American Christianity is actually separate to European Christianity. So when I see that, I'm going to say it here. I feel like I've got a stalker. I know him from previous interactions. I'm not going to get into it. But he suddenly, in the space that he's in, doing up Jesus first. And it's like, you lot do know that you're not talking about the same Jesus, right? You do know that. But Charlie Kirk got shot, slip bang, and the Kirk is gone. I was gonna make that joke one way or another. If you don't like it, sorry, it was gonna come out. My brain has been ruminating, like my brain has been pushing that to the front for a while, and I had to say it. And in fact, I think that might be the title of this episode, Sill It Bang. But then you've got his Nazi wife getting, like, it's a whole production. Then she's kissing his hand, holding up one kind of medal, talking about, yeah, it's on and popping, like, it's on now. Nick Fuentes is there saying to his people, no, we don't do, if you know, I don't condone violence, da, 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 da. How can you not be saying you don't condone violence when that's all you have been condoning with what you've been doing? And then you've got black people turning around and going, you're taking Charlie Kirk's statements out of context. No, if you're going to say someone's statement has been taken out of context, that means if I put the statement back in the body of the words that they were saying, the rest of the body of words, I should look at it and go, oh, I see how that little excerpt was different to what they were saying overall. But when you put his words back into the body of everything he's been saying, no, he was still an evil, very fucked up motherfucker with a wonky hairline. Like, that still tracks. Oh, he died for, you know, he didn't die for anything. He got killed. He didn't die for anything. He got killed. Okay. And in fact, he said, look, there are going to be some deaths in order for us to have our Second Amendment rights. There are going to be some deaths, not realizing that he was going to be one of them. I knew that the world was fucked when you, like, was it Columbine? You saw a school of little babies, little children get killed. Of course, you're not going to care about children in Palestine when you don't even care about fucking American children either. When I saw the children get killed and it still didn't change the gun laws, I said, oh, yeah. And it's not, and him being killed now, upon everybody's pontificating and pearl clutching and hand wringing, the gun laws are still not going to change. They asked Trump, hey, your boy got clapped. What are you saying about that? And he was like, yeah, that, you know, that's sad. But we're building a ballroom. It's going to be the best ballroom in the world. It's going to be one of the most beautiful ballrooms in the world. We haven't had a ballroom at the White House of this size. They've never seen it. It's going to be the best. It's the best that anyone has ever seen. It's the best in the world. It's going to be a beautiful ballroom. And that's what we're working on. And it's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. We're going to have it done. It's going to be quick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got rat-a-tat-tatted. You got brap-brap-brapid. And Trump is talking about a ballroom. He said, we are going to dance. I'm going to dance tonight. I'm going to party tonight. That Trump said ballroom for them. Yeah? So it goes back to what I'm saying. People are getting in front of microphones, ironic, to share their opinions, forgetting that you're advocating for people who merely see you as a pawn in their game. That's all it is. And that's why people, when the trolls were reposting me, giving all these death threats, and they were calling me, oh, you leftist, you leftist, you leftist. You stop giving me labels about this leftist, right, your right wing, this person's left wing, this person's right wing. When you are talking about me, when you are talking about Kelechi, the only titles you can use for me are as follows. Mother of London, baby girl, Kelechi Olufemilayo Okafor, and never, ever, ever forget, I'm sexy. Yeah? Say whatever else you want to say, but don't be calling me leftist this. I'm sexy. Yeah? That's all. That, and that is not up for debate either. About, no, I think you're a monkey. Let me not. But that's really all I wanted to share. I feel like this has been a long enough episode. I've really, really yapped for the gods. But I guess it means I'm well and truly back. And we need better, we need stronger gun control laws. We need stronger podcast microphone laws. Not everybody should be able to get in front of a microphone. When I'm mayor of London, aka mother of London, I will be seeing to that. Oh, but Kelechi, free speech, fuck off. Okay, anyway, that's it. Remember, if you want to send me some things to read for your front, the things that are happening in your area, your front pages that you don't want me to miss and you definitely want me to talk about, send it to sym@kelechiokafor.com, and that will actually force you to spell my name right, because for some reason recently everybody's been spelling my name Kelechi. Get it right, people. So that's Sierra Yankee Mike @KelechiOkafor.com. Send your letters there, or even some thoughts that you want to share about this. And let me tell you something, you lot are eating it up in the comments, because I know Spotify, you can leave comments now under a podcast. You're doing bits. If you want to help me out, make sure you're rating the episode. Give it 5 stars. I don't want to see anything else. I don't want to hear about nuance. If I see 4 stars, I'm finding you personally. 5 stars and above, but there's nothing above it. Anyway, yeah, do that for me. And I guess, yeah, that's it for this week's episode of Front Page Fuckery. I have been Kelechi Okafor, aka the Z Baby Girl, and this has been Front Page Fuckery, taking bad news and making good conversation out of it. And yeah, I hope to catch you soon. Peace. Oh. Have you heard the news? It's probably been twisted to keep the general population conflicted. Better lick your finger and turn a page. Dissect the lines that made you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on Front Page Fuckery. Yeah.